This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Here's the 0-2. And Tatis sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hernandez is back. Looking up. Gonna go! Two-run homer, Fernando Tatis Jr. And it is a six-run second inning.
And that would basically conclude the scoring. Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube, where you will find our next guest. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby on the home of the World Series champs. We can still say that for a short time period, as last night the Padres get it done. They're one win away from eliminating the Dodgers, and the Mets go up 2-1 with a 7-2 win on the Phillies. And rejoining us here on the program via the Zoom, Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube is Odyssey Baseball insider and the former major leaguer Brett Boone. Good morning, man. Thanks for coming back.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm back. Wow. It's exciting.
You sound it. You're normally up earlier than this, right? It sounds like you just woke up. Are you good?
I just woke up. I had a disaster in Atlanta. I went back for a charity event. It was one of those all day long. Delay. All right, you got a flight at midnight. Oh, now we're canceled. Go get a hotel and then fly back tomorrow. So,
yes. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm a little jet lag, but I'm doing all right.
How fun do you think the playoffs have been so far? Certain years we evaluate in all the sports. It's been an amazing playoff. It's been a boring tournament. You happy with these series so far?
Tell you what, since I've been doing this and keeping a close eye on it, I've enjoyed the playoffs every single year. I think they've been great, for your entertainment value, I think they've been awesome. This is not a disappointment, along with the rest. The thing that I find so fascinating about this postseason is, we sit down as analysts and we go through the data and we put eyes on games and players and pitchers and evaluate who's healthy, who's not, and then come up with our great ideas and scenarios of this is what's going to happen. It's like, I'm shaking my head every night. Like, I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's great about the playoffs. It's just with the parity in baseball, and it's not like it used to be where it was a little more predictable. Well, these are the four best teams and they're probably going to be there. And usually two or three of those teams are right there in the end. I think now you got 12 teams going to the postseason, and yeah, you can give your thoughts and break it down. This is why this team should go on, but it seems like I'm wrong more than I'm right now. So, I mean, to say the Mets and Detroit were just going to sweep and just go to the second round, or Mets didn't sweep, to Kansas City Royals, and now all of a sudden they look like championship caliber teams. It's pretty awesome to watch. Watching that San Diego Padres team last night, first thing that came to mind, especially early in the game when they had that big explosion, is that looks like a world championship team. The thing that was great about it is Dodgers come right back and make it a game, and it's 6-5, and then the pitching comes in, and that great bullpen of the San Diego Padres comes in and just shuts them down in the 7th, 8th, 9th. Yeah, I've been far from disappointed.
As a player with a regular season this long to iron things out, get to your seating, now get to your bye, do you think that best of five is fair for this second round?
I think it should be, in perfect world, everything is best of seven, because that's where you're truly going to find the best teams. You're going to find the deepest rotations. We're going to see how that third, fourth, maybe even fifth starter, how is he as a, you know, how deep is that? How deep is your bench? So in a perfect world, everything should be best of seven. I don't like the best of three. I don't like playing 6 months and 162 games, grinding it out. And then because Scooble comes in, who's a, for me, the best pitcher in the, let's call it the tournament. Scooble's the best pitcher in the tournament. So he wins game one. Now you're out of the playoffs. You just won 162 games to get to the postseason, and now you're gone. So I don't like that three. I also understand the challenges that Major League Baseball has, where do you fit it in? Where do you fit in all these teams? You're already going into
shorten the regular season.
Well, it you know what it comes down to, and it's ownership and it's money.
Yeah.
It's the dollar.
Yep.
You start adding games on, now you're going to have a problem with the players. The players' union is going to say, wait a minute, we already play 162. Now you want us to add playoff games? So, yeah, as a fan, as an ex-player, man, I want that seven-game series, because that's how you truly, in the end, you get that team that's tried and true, and I think you get a real champion. I'm not saying that you're not a real champion. It's still, you're going through this grind and this postseason and four rounds. If you're holding up that trophy at the end, you more than deserve it. But to get rid of the people saying, oh, well, they're not the best team, they just got hot at the right time, put it in a seven-game series. You'll see the true great teams and the teams that have depth.
Brett Boone, Odyssey Insider, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. So if you look around at the big dogs in this, the Aaron Judge, the Bobby Witts, Shohei,
right,
they all had great, unbelievable seasons. And you know, Shohei had the home run in game one, but he really hasn't been great in this series. 3-for-13. Judge, 1-for-7. Witt doesn't have a hit in this series. He's just got three singles in the playoffs. Are they not hitting, or are they not getting anything to hit? Like, go back to 2001 with yourself. You had a great year, but, you know, were you given nothing to hit in the playoffs? And do they pitch you differently?
And my point I'll throw in, Brett, I always laugh and roll my eyes when someone goes, he's having a terrible postseason, and we're 12 at-bats in. We're 13 at-bats in. That, to me, is a joke. And then we judge your legacy off of it.
Right. You look at Aaron Judge right now. He's played two games.
Come on.
He's played two games, and he's reached base three times. And he is in the biggest slump of his life. No, I think you're always, when you're the main guy, when you're that guy that people key on, when we have our meetings the night before the series and we say, don't let XY beat you, you're always going to be in a tougher situation. And I think the ultimate of all this, you know, Kershaw has had a rough postseason, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. In my generation, it was Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds had zero success in the postseason until 2002, where I don't think they got him out. And he finally got, you know, got that label taken away from him. No, when you're the man, when you're one of these great players, these MVP type players, they're going to pay special attention to you. And you look at an Aaron Judge, you got Juan Soto in front of him, who's had a great postseason thus far. But Judge is hitting behind Juan Soto, you know, because you pick your poison. It's like, I've got to pitch to somebody. I can't just not pitch to all of them. And I'm not saying, you know, that's why Soto's doing great. I'm just saying, if you're in front of the big dog and that's Aaron Judge, you're going to get, they got to kind of come to you a little bit more. Whereas Aaron, they really don't have to. That being said, I don't look really anything into it. I look about the teams and what that's a time for other guys to step up and be a huge part of a win or a series win in this postseason. And I don't put much into, oh, he's not showing up or he's choking or anything like that. I think it's ridiculous. Plus, we're two games in. Two of the ball clubs have played three games now. But, I don't look anything to it. When it's said and done, if the Yankees continue to advance, Aaron Judge is going to be a big factor at some point.
Brett, when we talk about
Bobby Witt.
Yeah, when we talk about those big names that are in there, Judge and Ohtani and different guys like that, the note came out this week, said that it, you know, playoff ratings are up 41% on the television, wow, and that there's a lot of, in fact, it's a 10-year high for this early in the postseason, the kind of ratings they've been pulling in. Is that going to be something where more eyeballs are going to be drawn, or more interest do you think nationally is drawn by the ideas of these Lindors, Harpers, Otani, guys like that being involved in the postseason? Or is it more a draw of the type of legacy organizations that are good and pulled in right now with the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees?
I think historically it's the legacy of the organization. You know, I think the fact that you got the Yankees in, the New York Mets, and it's been a little time since they've been in the postseason. I think you have an unbelievable rivalry that it's always been the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants, but it's really turning into a, you know, love. They kind of don't like each other now, the Padres and LA. I think that West Coast draw has been big for the postseason. I don't know. I look at all the matchups, like, you know, these are all trending. It's like, it could be a Mets Yankees World Series. It could be a Dodgers Yankees, you know, the two biggest franchises in baseball. So you've got all the big teams, and then you've got the Clevelands of the world, the Detroits of the world, the Kansas City Royals of the world that are really good feel-good stories. The Royals haven't been to the postseason too often. They limped in. The Detroit Tigers, they were selling at the trade deadline. And all of a sudden, this Detroit Tigers are a real team, and they got a real bullpen, and they're getting big hits. They have something about them. The Mets are just finding a way. They got a nose for the finish line. I mean, starting with that playoff game, or that last two games of the season in Atlanta, where they just had to win just to get in. Now all of a sudden, it seems like they get behind, they get the big hit. I think it's just been, it's awesome all around. And also you have those marquee franchises in as well. I think that's why you see the ratings going up.
Brett, I know you said you kind of leave, you know, your brother alone, and you don't, you know, go game to game with him. But the way the sport is now, Matthew Boyd for the Tigers was pitching great. 4 2/3. He only had 72 pitches and they pull him. Of Cleveland, they pull him. And they had to extend their bullpen. And it just seems like in the playoffs, managers can't wait to get to the bullpen. Philosophically, has Aaron talked about why that is and why they are so quick to just get out of the starter, you know, get away from the starter and go to the relievers?
Think of the Boyd situation. With the kind of the goofy schedule they have where they had the day off and then play and then another day off, I think Boyd's idea there was, listen, I'm going to show them that bullpen. I think they got the best bullpen in the American League. I think the San Diego Padres have the best bullpen in the National League. But I think he wanted to get his guys in that postseason mode and show them, here's what's coming if we get a lead, whether they did or not. And with the day off, I think he just wanted to get those guys some reps. That being said, yeah, it seems like we're in a day and age where there's a lot of finances that are put into the bullpen. Where in yesteryear, the bullpen guys were just guys that weren't good enough to be starters, and you just throw them in the bullpen, and there wasn't a lot of big payroll down there. Now, teams build, they build their teams around that bullpen, so they want to get their money's worth. So I don't like it because it's kind of been taught. It's the culture now. As a young player, you get in the minor leagues and the low levels of the minor leagues, and it's kind of taught them to, hey, let's go five and then hand it to the bullpen. And that's kind of been the mindset. I really don't blame it on the players of today. It's the way they're brought up. I wish it would go long. I love seeing the great starters going in the game with the mindset of, I'm going nine. But you got to have that mindset. And I don't know. I don't like the way is trending, the way the game's trending when it comes to how they're handling the starting pitchers. Because I still think at the end of the day, the starting pitchers are by far the best pitchers in the world, not the guys sitting in the bullpen. And all the great starters, the legendary starters that we've seen through the years, when it's a five and dive situation, are we going to see that anymore? Are you going to see the Pedro Martinez's, the Randy Johnson's, the Justin Verlander's? Is that kind of going to be something that goes away? And you're just going to have, oh, he gave us 4 2/3 today because we got a great bullpen. I don't know. We'll see. That's one thing in the game that I don't really like. It's all about data and third time around the border. Let me tell you this. The great guys, the great marquee number one starters type, me as a hitter, I don't want to see them a third time around. I really don't. Because it's nasty and they are who they are for a reason. Yeah. So that's the one thing about the game I could do without. I'd like to see these pitchers extend and you know, go out and get their 200 innings like it used to be. It's a very rare thing now.
Do you expect, because it's not set up for the Yankees like this without Houston, without Baltimore, if they were to get knocked out in this round, do you expect the heat on Cashman and Aaron to be just too high?
I don't think it's going to be too high. You know, I definitely, if the Yankees were to get bounced, of course you're going to hear the grumblings again. Here they come. Aaron Boone stinks. You know, Cashman needs to go. It's just what, when you sign up to be the manager and the general manager of the New York Yankees, this comes with the territory, and you got to deal with it. At the end of the game, players win games. And from a media standpoint or a fans perspective, managers and general managers lose games. That seems what the sentiment is out there in the public. But to this point, I look at Aaron, his body of work, what he's done with ball clubs that he's been given. And I can take the brother hat off and just be an analyst looking at Aaron Boone, the manager. I think he's done a great job. I think guys love playing for him. And I look at his rosters that has been constructed over the years. I think he's won 100 games four times out of the 7 years that he's been the Yankees skipper. So if they were not to advance, I think you're definitely going to hear the drum beats from fans, talk radio. But I don't know because you never know. How loud do they get? I think his relationship with a Hank Steinbrenner, I think, is very good. I think they really like him there. So, yeah, you're going to hear the grumblings, but I think that's all they are. And see, you never know. This game, as a manager, you're hired to be fired. The greatest of all times are going to get fired. You know, when Joe Torre won 4 World Series, guess what? One day it was a time where, hey, Joe, that's it. You're done. So it happens. We'll see. But, you know, hopefully on a personal for personal reasons, I'd like to see the Yankees advance.
Good to have you back, man. Go ahead and fire up the private jet next time, not having to deal with the common man problems like us, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Thank you, brother.
Go from 1A to 32D.
Brett Boone on the D&M Leasing Hotline Odyssey Baseball Insider. You can check out his Odyssey Baseball podcast wherever you download him. Is Deron Bland back? Nick Eatman with the story from DallasCowboys.com after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Let's bring in Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, is Deron Bland returning for Sunday against Detroit?
It does seem that way, guys. It seems like he's going to be able to get out there for a little bit. Maybe not, as a full-time starter, but they're definitely expecting him to play some snaps, and certainly a good thing for this team, considering what a playmaker he's been last 2 years.
How much do you think the Cowboys secondary has suffered or fared without him?
It's actually, they seem like they've kind of held up okay. I really like, Overwarie. I think he's done a nice job. He shows that he's been here before. He's played before, and I'm sure he would love to play against the Lions. I think he spent a few years there in Detroit. Had a good year, and 1 year, 6 interceptions. So he's done a nice job. Been better than Booth obviously was. But Carson, I thought that they just held up okay. The Saints game was a little rough for everybody on defense. But other than that, I think it's been pretty good. But still, I think what Bland gives you is a playmaker that can actually, get the ball in his hands as well.
We're not going to hold you to this. We're just asking you for your projection. Give me the Cowboys starting offensive and defensive line Sunday.
Offensive line? I still think it's going to be Guyton. I think it'll be across the board, Guyton, and then Tyler Smith, and B.B. Martin, and Terrence Steele. And then on defensive line, oh, man. Osa, can I go there? Osa, let's see.
Yeah.
Lawson, Chauncey Golson's going to fit in there somewhere. Osa and Lawson, and then on the other defensive end, I'm kind of blanking. But I would imagine it's probably going to be Golson and Lawson with Osa in the middle with Linval Joseph and Mozzie probably over Linval. I don't know. Am I missing somebody there?
So, like, philosophically, moving, maybe Tyler Smith to tackle, right? Taking a strength, removing a strength to help a weakness. Is that a non-starter for you?
Say that again. Is that a non-starter?
Is that something you would even, kind of entertain?
Is it fantasy football nonsense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I personally, I'm all about having the five best linemen. And I think with Bass at guard and Tyler Smith at left tackle, I think you had a better lineup. I think we all saw that. They functioned better. The problem is the politics that goes involved there with your first round pick and a guy that needs to play to get better. It's the only way he's going to get better is if he plays. And so I just don't think they're going to do that right now at this point in the season. They're going to try to get him to be better. So I think he'll play at left tackle, Tyler Guyton, and Tyler Smith goes back to guard. I think they know now what they can do. I think what it says is T.J. Bass is a much better guard than Austin Richards is as a tackle. I mean, that's what their next five when an injury goes down. But I just don't see them benching Tyler Guyton at this point. I mean, they knew there was going to be some struggles, and there has been, but he's going to have to work his way out of it.
Nick, when you look at – obviously some of this has been based on injury, but when you look at the defense and – Jordan Lewis playing really well and them figuring out, okay, Owuwariye over Booth and Overshown getting those reps now that in base were originally going to Damone Clark. Do you think that what we're seeing here and part of the defense playing so well recently has been Zimmer has figured out, all right, who can meet the demands, the football IQ demands of what I ask of a defense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's definitely figured out what, you know, who can do what and where they can line up and maybe simplified some things a little bit. And he's dialed up the pressure at the right times. I thought there was going to be a lot more blitzing, but there really hasn't been. There's been some. I think there's been a good, healthy mix of that. At times, he's brought more. And, you know, I think that these defensive ends, I think it was just solid across the board. You know, it wasn't really spectacular, but they were all solid. And I give him credit. I mean, Tyrus Wheat, I wasn't expecting a lot out of that group of Golston and Wheat and of course and Carl Lawson. But you know, Lawson's done a nice job. I think they're going to put him on the roster if they haven't done that already. He's out of elevation, so they've got to do something with him. And you know, I just think it's been a really good job by Zimmer and this defense and the players and the schemes to kind of play within themselves, not overextend, but also it's been good enough right now.
Nick Eatman on the D&M Leasing Hotline from DallasCowboys.com with the Lions coming into town Sunday. How angry and vengeful do you expect them to be after what happened last year?
As angry as Dan Campbell will be, that's what they will be. And they do take on, you know, the attitude of him. And I saw a quote where he says it's still there. You know, the fury inside of that game is still there. And he said, you know, it's going to be meaningful. There's no doubt about it. And they're going to be, you know, coming off a bye week, so they're going to be ready. I think they, you know, they're going to be trying to win this one even more than in any other game, because I do think, you know, that what happened there kind of stings. And if we think there's not going to be a pass to a lineman, I think we're foolish. Okay. Like they're going to throw the ball to the lineman, and they're going to report eligible and all this kind of crap. They're going to do it. But yeah, I think they have had 2 weeks to practice stuff like that and practice reporting the right person and quit trying to be cute about it and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they're gonna try to bring it. And I think this is a really bad matchup for the Cowboys based off of just what they bring. I was gonna say this in my last answer about, you know, the defense. Yes, the defense has done a better job, but I think, you know, they've beaten Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones, you know, and then of course last week against Fields. I mean, these aren't your top quarterbacks in the league, and wherever you put Goff in there, you know, I think he deserves to be up in that top, you know, maybe top 10 level, probably for sure. You know, they're going to start facing some of those guys here, so I think that's when we'll find out what this defense looks like.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, it looked like the offense was, the downfield passing game, even against Pittsburgh, was starting to click into place a little bit more. The running game got going. It was around 5 weeks into the season last year when the offense started to fall into place, it felt like. Why is it, like, if we are seeing the offense kind of coming into form now, why is it these last 2 years that it's taken a month plus for the offense to find its footing?
I don't have an answer for why, but I do think they use analytics to help them. They use analytics to show kind of what teams are doing to them and how they can, you know, how they can be just better playmakers. It took a little bit to get Cooks going. Man, Cooks, I don't think they were using him in the best way. And maybe the same for Tolbert and Turpin. I mean, they have some speed. They can get down the field, and I think that they just had to do it. I mean, they just have to you know, exploit that a little bit, and kind of, I think the analytics showed them that they were throwing the ball short of the sticks a lot. Teams were sitting on that, and it was, at some point, you're going to have to throw the ball down the field. I do think the evolution of Jake Ferguson's game is also kind of helping with that, you know, because he was banged up early in the season. Now he's kind of coming back to form, and it took him a little bit last year as well to kind of get it rolling. But once we could see that he's a legitimate playmaker, you know, we see it across the league. If you've got a stud tight end, that changes everything on what teams can do. And I think the Cowboys have opened things up more because of Ferguson. So last year, it took him a little bit of time. This year, he was injured, and now he's kind of back into form as well.
Has Jalen Tolbert finally come into form as the guy they thought he could be? Or do you think, hey, still a little too early to say that? That may have just been a defense trying to take CD away.
Yeah, I think we're still going to need to see him do it more and more. And I don't know what they thought he could be. I mean, he was a third-round pick, and I always kind of thought he was the next Gallup, you know, and Gallup was the number two for a little bit, and then but always really better as a three. So I kind of wonder where they see Tolbert there. You would love for him to be a two and maybe even better than that at times. But he was the one, you know, at the end of the game the other day. But I think that they want him to just be a steady playmaker and get down the field. But also.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
What was that?
Jalen Tolbert didn't like the answer. Cut
his
phone off.
Bluetooth. Boom.
Yeah, it sounded like a just like a critical stop on Windows or something.
So that's a dead noise.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah,
that's a power off.
Yeah,
that's a power down. Look, we didn't talk about Deron Bland. Pepe, it's all right. We don't have enough time. Tom, thank you anyway. But Deron Bland, we didn't talk about that earlier in the show with a possible return.
Yeah,
that's big.
Yeah, the fact and Jerry had made it sound like, nope, probably not this week. But, you know, if they can get anything out of him just a little bit, as long as you're not rushing something back, as long as this is within the timeline of he's healthy and it'll just help to knock off some rust before then going and sitting into a bye, totally cool with that. And it may just be a thing where he gets, like Nick was talking about, maybe 10, 15 snaps, just something to kind of get his feet wet again.
I mean, they do have weapons, Detroit. And Jameson Williams is a problem when he gets into space.
I was looking this up. EPA, total EPA on pass targets this year. You talk about guys stepping up. Jordan Lewis is fourth in the NFL right now.
Oh, wow.
That he has created negative EPA, which is a per play efficiency number. He is fourth in the NFL. Now, one of the problems, Kirby Joseph in the Lions secondary, who you're going up against this week, he's second in the NFL. The passer rating allowed against him in 177 coverage snaps is zero. He has a zero passer rating
against. Well, I mean, Seattle threw up a lot of yards last week.
Not against Kirby Joseph,
but
though.
Not against Kirby, but against the secondary. And Jordan Lewis, if I remember right, did have an interception in that Lions game last year.
Where's Kirby Joseph from? What's his deal?
Illinois. He was actually a friend of the Nosebleed Seats. The Nosebleeds interviewed him at night years ago while he was still in college.
Let's crosstalk with the fellas. It's the K&C Masterpiece next with Sean, RJ, and Roberto, 105.3 The Fan.
It's a good airplane song, Sean. Sweet. You turn this song on as soon as the engines rev up, and when it hits Sweet Emotion, that's when the plane takes off. It's crazy how that works.
So you have to replay it 10 times while you're sitting.
Yes, while you're sitting
while
there.
While you're trafficked.
It's kind of like the third roar of the lion for Dark Side of Oz.
And if you're on a Boeing, when the song ends is also when the plane typically ends.
Dark Side of the Moon?
No. So
for when you put it with Wizard of Oz?
So have you done that's Dark Side of Oz. So you start Dark Side of the Moon the third roar of the lion in the MGM.
I've not done that.
Oh no, it's crazy. The whole thing. There's a bunch in there. There's like bells start playing and scary music starts playing right when the witch is riding. Somebody was very high when they noticed this.
Sure. Wild.
You can do the whole movie with it though.
Shams reports that Dante Exum is expected to miss 3 months after undergoing right wrist surgery, extended early loss to the Mavericks backcourt.
Yeah, that sucks. He's obviously proved himself as a valuable piece several times over last year. So I don't think it's like the end of the world, but it sucks from a depth perspective for sure.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, at 10:30 today, NBC Sports' Noah Eagle will join the show. He's calling the Ohio State-Oregon game on Saturday. That's the number 2 and 3 teams in the country. So we'll talk with him at 10:30 today. Buddy's an idiot. So if you have a friend who has a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, coming up at 11:22, Bobby.
Do they run a hotel in Vermont?
Yeah.
Why'd you say Bobby?
Because yesterday you pointed out that 10:22 is the right.
Oh, I thought you meant I had a bad sports day.
No.
I mean, of crosstalk. We are happy to report his hand is not broken.
I do think I popped a blood vessel. Thank you. Probably.
You're right, Dr. Majors.
Thank you.
Yep.
That is correct.
Dr. Mahor's right again.
How into the baseball playoffs have you been?
Not really? Yeah.
It was fun last night though to watch that like 11 run burst that they had at the beginning of the game. That was a lot of fun. I didn't catch enough of the Phillies game though, but that That Padres-Dodgers series is a lot of fun.
But overall with the playoffs, how much have you watched?
A lot of Royals, because Kevin and I have a bet. At spring training, I said, I think that now that they got Will Smith, the Royals are going to win the World Series.
Crazy, right?
And Kevin said, no chance in hell. And so, I said, do you want to make a Scullett bet? So if he loses, if the Royals win, Kevin has to grow his hair out. And if the
you
Royals,
have the audio of that, I'm in.
If the Royals don't win, then I have to grow a mullet out.
Okay.
So
you think you can grow one?
A mullet?
Yeah.
All I got to do is just trim the sides and let the hair grow.
But you still got the hair growth going?
Yeah, I'm good with hair grow.
I hate the days off that we've already seen. I think that's kind of killed some of the baseball playoff momentum. Because with that series, you're specifically talking about Yankees-Royals play game one, and then they need a day off. Then they play game two. Then they need another day off. Then they play game three. Like, I don't like the alternating way that they're
and
doing
it. It's also like, it's not, I don't believe it's like, I don't say fair. I don't
it's
think
not it's pure.
It doesn't make also for the best baseball. So, like, tonight, both the Guardians and the Yankees will be playing their third game in 10 days.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, can you really, and the Dodgers and Phillies will be playing their fourth in 10 days. I don't know that, like, you could accurately, I mean, you can't be on time as a hitter or, I don't believe, commanding your pitches as well as a pitcher. So, I don't know. I think it sucks.
What were the ratings that you were telling Brett Boone about?
41%. They are up 41% over last year, the MLB playoff ratings, and it is a 10-year high to this point.
Wow. Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies. I mean, Mets.
And it's teams over stars, right? Like, this is more about those teams are in it rather than Harper, Lindor, Judge, Ohtani, right?
I could see that, but wouldn't you argue the two biggest stars in baseball?
Yeah, it helps.
Yeah,
it helps for sure. Yeah.
I mean, look, and it's they still do not have a very good TV deal. They're on FS1. Now, the Mets game one with the Phillies was on Fox, and that was the only one that was on over the air, and that got the biggest number. It got 5 million.
Did we get more details on that watch theft?
Yes. So this is Walker Buehler had his watch stolen.
I swear, when I read this headline yesterday, I thought it said it took his arm off.
And then he's pitching.
And I was like, what the hell? Why isn't this a bigger deal? And I was like, so his watch off his arm.
This actually happened a month ago.
I didn't think anyone was going to get that.
So this actually happened a month ago, like, but they didn't report on this at all until now. So what happened is that last month, outside of Santa Anita, like the Santa Anita
horse track,
thieves surrounded him.
Oh no!
And just took the watch off his arm. And you know, they say he was not threatened at all during the mugging. They are investigating two similar episodes the same day that officials said were organized groups who steal high-end watches. And he was at the track with his wife and then a teammate, Jack Flaherty, to attend the California Crown races. And they're also saying that this ring is the same one that wound up shooting Ricky Pearsall. Kind of
interesting,
intertwined.
Did anyone watch Aaron Hernandez last night?
I caught up on the last episode. I've got it DVR'd though. I was gonna watch it tonight after Cowboys Crosstalk.
How is that show? I haven't seen
it. It's good.
Yet.
I feel like I've listened to a couple of people who do their podcasts and stuff be like, it's terrible. It's so terrible. But I keep watching it. I keep finding myself watching it. So I don't know whether my judgment of being entertained by it is legit or I'm just biased because we had on Aaron Hernandez as the actor and the director.
Look, Aaron Hernandez running the 40 did not look like the clip of him running the 40 did not look like an athlete running. Right, so there's some of the
anyone who judges the football in these things is an idiot.
It's not good, but drama-wise, it's entertaining. I'm entertained. Yeah. It may be a little campy at times, but it's entertaining.
Okay. Is that FX?
Yeah.
It's a little some other things, too.
There's nothing that throws me off more than when I'm watching any show, and the actor is playing an athlete and doesn't look like he's ever played the sport before.
Yeah.
It irritates the crap out of me. Like the dude Who's the guy that threw the football?
Oh,
and
my
it was
God,
like,
yes.
Like he never threw a football in his life.
In this show?
In any show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm watching The Suits.
I'm going to say Keanu Reeves.
The guy that plays Harvey, like, he frequently goes to hit baseballs. I'm like, he's hit a baseball before. I love when I see that. Whenever I see a guy that looks like he's never hit it, you're like, I don't know.
Watching Hernandez's brother throw to him in this it's sad.
It is.
It's bad.
Yeah, so.
But whatever. Set up this baseball clip.
Okay, so. I'm curious, when you guys hear this clip, I want you to tell me, who do you think Bob Costas is rooting for when you hear this clip? This is Bob Costas calling a Giancarlo Stanton double play the other night against the Kansas City Royals.
Hit to short. Whip gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
He's getting crushed for this.
Yes, they did. I've never heard a call like that.
No.
But context, there has to be more to it.
Yeah, so the entire game.
You think the Yankees are pro-gun control? And that's why he's...
Because Costas is like a big-time Cardinal fan. So
he's
like,
not a Yankee broadcaster.
No, he's a Cardinals fan. So the context here is the entire game they were talking about, they were defending... Giancarlo because he got killed for not running the previous game because the Yankees have told him
aggressive language.
Don't run. You get hurt. So they're just saying, just jog.
Don't run.
Yeah.
You get hurt.
Yeah. They basically
don't extend.
Yes.
And so was he conceding that? Yeah, he probably did.
So they were talking all game about like, you know, any kind of ground ball. Like right before that double play, they said, hey, he's a perfect, he's a prime double play candidate because he can't run. So, like, any ground ball, they're going to double him up. And sure enough, this is a play that any normal functioning adult beats out, right? Anyone beats this thing out. It was a diving play in the hole. You know, they get him by like 8 steps. And that's what he was like. But it sounds terrible.
He sounds defeated by it. Yeah. He can't sound that
way. Let's play it again.
Hit the short. Whip. Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point.
It's the can, right?
Yes, they can.
It's like it's Kurt Gibson out there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your fault, Kurt. It's just not your fault.
Right. That's the thing, is that it's not the, wow, this is disappointing to see a great player. It sounds like he's upset that the inning is over for the Yankees. Yeah. Like, it sounds like, oh, man, Yankees are done.
It doesn't bother me, but I think it's a little unfortunate how hated Bob Costas is.
I love Costas.
Like, he's smug and arrogant like you are.
Yeah.
You just don't have the knowledge.
Great name, Bob.
Bob.
You should change yours. but I do... When Pete Rose passes away or there's stuff like that, I do rely on him as an encyclopedia. I think he's extremely intelligent. I respect his takes. I like listening to him. He is smug.
Thank you.
He is arrogant. He is now political.
He was great in Pootie Tang. Have you ever seen that?
He's
awesome. Probably
the smuggiest.
Well, no. Yeah. He's probably... Jim Gray, I think, is the smuggiest.
Yeah.
But he's probably the... Clear go-to, if you were going to say a baseball historian that's in the media,
yes,
he's probably number one. I don't know who would be number two.
Gammons?
Kirkjian?
Gammons, yeah.
I think as a historian, he's great doing that or basketball. He had the
Kirkjian's good.
He had the greatest description. He did the NBA at 50 documentary. He was a big part of that, Costas was. And I've always just loved the way he... As a storyteller, as somebody who just draws analogies, and there's nobody better than
me. I would never want to get in a sports fight with him. I would never want to get into a sports argument debate.
What about a regular fight?
I would feel good.
He's tiny. He's a tiny fellow.
I feel good about it. So what's that being compared to?
So Joe Davis.
By the way, just listening to him last night, I'm like, they made that was a great replacement. For Joe Buck. He's damn good.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's so good.
And it doesn't confuse Smoltz to have to learn a new name.
Which Joe Davis and... So last night, Tatis hits the home run, Davis just calls it like the way you would call a home run. So this morning, there was just a ton of people crushing it and drawing the comparison of, look, Joe Davis, Dodgers announcer during the regular season, he's unbiased. This is the way you do it, Costas. You don't do it the way you did.
But Costas
you
call isn't it a straight. Yankee broadcaster.
I know,
it's
but that's what he's getting killed for this morning. People think it's ridiculous that it's like, well, Joe Davis called it completely unbiased, and too bad Costas couldn't do the same thing. He's clearly got his Yankees love here.
Mm. Stupid Bob.
And we're going to play the audio?
I didn't send him that one. I just sent him
I thought that's what we were leading up to, too. I really
you
did.
You set it up so perfectly.
I really
well, that's
did.
That's why I was explaining it. I explained it in whole instead of playing the clip. It's because I didn't send him that one. I just
the
sent
way
him
he
Costas.
Kept directing his Touch hands his toward here. Us.
Here's the thing that you miss. At 6 o'clock, 6:20 this morning, he described that. And I said, you know what would have been amazing? If you actually had it. So then he texts me here. Yeah. I'm taking you behind the curtain.
Yep.
He texts me here at 9:46 saying, Peyton has that Costas clip if you want to play it here. So you'd think... He would say, oh, my gosh, let's have the
clip.
Oh, we got a Windhorse sighting. Windhorse.
Go!
On an 0-2 pitch, a missile. Fernando Tatis Jr., electric.
This is such a dumb point. I could be able to pull so many Joe Buck calls of teams that the Cardinals have faced where he was super excited and made it sound like an all-time great moment.
Except for when the Rangers played him.
No, that's Smoltz.
Yes. No, I mean, we don't take shots at Smoltz anymore. Because he came and hung out with
us. He was nice to us.
He also, we got the drop from y'all's show when
he said...
We're
not on the freak.
That was...
Nobody is.
That was the most ridiculous... Golly, y'all. Jeez.
What'd you say, Kevin?
Wasn't it y'all's show when he said that is the most ridiculous statement in the history of baseball? We use that as a drop quite a bit.
Yeah,
I believe
fun.
He said that on your show.
About us calling him a hater?
Our
about
people.
Him rooting for somebody else. Yeah.
This is the most ridiculous point in the history of baseball.
How is Mike doing in Italy?
Who knows?
I haven't heard from him.
No. Not a text. Not a what? What's that?
Well, we heard Sunday from him
was,
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday was the only time we heard from him, and he was talking about like news from the future. He was telling us, oh, yeah, the Jags have already won this game here. And
was he there communicating?
In Italy, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Let's just machete his feet off.
Okay.
It's a big thing in Italy from what I've been told.
All right. The KNC Masterpiece is next on 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.